almost our culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Bernie Sanders making the official announcement that he is endorsing Hillary Clinton for the presidency. That is disappointing, I'm sure, to many of the those feeling the burn, who have felt the burn for some time. Maybe the burn is feeling a little bit different today, and we'll talk about that this afternoon. Also, President Obama addressing the Dallas crowd with the remarks regarding the fallen officers, and then Miss Alabama with some very interesting things to say about the shooter in this particular situation. We'll get to all of that. Father Thomas Loya will join us this afternoon. Pokemon Go is the craze. Everyone seems to be captivated by this interesting game, and his parish now is a whatever the site is called. They've got a Pokemon tag, whatever. I don't know. We'll figure. I'm not sure he knows what it's all about, but we'll talk about that and more in just a moment. More to come. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back after this.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Tuesdays, we are joined by Father Thomas Loya. Father, how are you?
Very good.
TaborLife.org is where you find what you've got going on, and apparently your parish up in Joliet, Illinois, now a Pokestop.
Yeah, Pokestop.
This crazy Pokemon Go game. So how did you get the privilege?
Well, what happened was I came, ironically, I was at a teen retreat, a teen rally this weekend in Ohio, and I saw some kids walking around the campus. They weren't our kids. They were, you know, young teenagers, and they were walking around. They were standing shoulder to shoulder like buddies, you know, walking together, and I was watching them, and I must have watched them for nearly an hour, and they had their phones in their hands, and they never looked up once. I mean, literally never looked up once.
Right, sure.
Never turned to each other, never spoke to each other. Or if they did, they didn't turn to each other. So it just got the best. I had to go up to him and says, what are you guys doing? I mean, I understand. A little older than you. So I don't understand these things. Tell me about this. What are you doing? And he said, oh, and they were very kind. They said, oh, we're doing this Pokemon thing. And they showed me their phones. And here the campus that we're on, the rally is being held at a campus, a college campus in Ohio. And here the campus was designated or tagged, as they say, as a Pokemon place.
Yeah.
So you walk around with your phone and you, it's like a game, video game that can be competitive. You know, you have targets and things that are designated. Apparently they can get a satellite imagery, I guess Google, whatever, they get a satellite imagery of your complex and they designate it as a place where these things are hiding and you have to go and get them and you score points. I don't know exactly specifically the mechanics, but something in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
And you could do it individually, and basically you can be competing against people you don't even know about. Just whoever comes by there who's playing the game, you know, it's like whoever gets there first gets this, you know, these little...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they collect the guys somehow.
Yeah, they collect the guys, yeah. Or you can do it as teams, you know. So anyway, I thought that was, you know, pretty incredible. Well, anyway, I didn't realize that the thing is it was just hitting the market now, just this very week.
Mm-hmm.
It's got more members than Twitter right now. And they've made like over $7 billion in like 2 days.
Oh, my goodness.
So this thing is hot, like over the top hot.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, we're coming back late last night in a bus full of teenagers. And we come driving up the driveway of my church. I notice there's strangers there at 10:30 at night. And they're on their cell phones, or they're looking at their phone, their iPhones, you know. Then I'm noticing, I thought, well, maybe they come to pray or something. Maybe they got a problem. They come to pray at night, you know, at our church, you know.
Yeah.
Then I noticed these, I know the parents came and picked up the kids, but I noticed these other cars didn't belong to the parents. Well, here, and finally we stopped one of them and said, well, sure enough, they're doing Pokemon at my church. So these cars are coming in and out, pitch black at night. You know, there's people walking around with their phones, not looking where they're going.
Yeah.
Finally, about 1 o'clock in the morning, I finally, we have gates on the end of our drive. I closed off the gates of the church. And the last person that left our church, one of my our staff members said, you know, Father, they called me. They said, it was 1:30 in the morning. He says, Father, they're still trying to get in your church.
Oh, no.
So I had to play this Pokemon.
Yeah, sure.
I got up this morning, and we're in full swing here as Pokemon. And I saw a kid on his bike. I asked him. I was, oh yeah, yeah. You're a. They called it. We're called a gym. That's one of the terms. A gym. I don't know why they call it, but we're a gym. And he was real polite, and kind, didn't think anything of it, you know. And then these cars are coming in and out. Largely, it was cars with fathers driving the cars and their young sons doing the work with the with the phone, iPhone.
Right.
The Pokemon work. You know?
Well. I don't even want to introduce my oldest son to this because I know he'll be obsessed with it immediately. So I'm trying to avoid it, trying to pretend like it's not even out there. So, but all harmless stuff, but interesting increased traffic around the parish. So you could potentially use this as an evangelization tool, right? You could invite them on in for prayer.
Well, this is what, this is one of the reasons I thought I'd bring up the subject because it's so hot. I'm also kind of like maybe a little reversal on your listeners. I'm asking for their help now, their advice, you know.
Right, sure. What do you do?
What do I do? Because this is absolutely brand new. It's like surreal. I feel like I walked into some surreal world because there's a, you know, there's a real sense of like Big Brother watching you. Mm. You know, my church gets targeted by who, I don't know who. They didn't ask my permission or whatever. So all these people, in fact, one of my parishioners just pulled up just moments before the show and he said, oh, so that's why all these strange people come around. I was taking license plate, and they were ready to get the shotguns out. You know, what's going on here? You know, and finally explain to them. You know, and so anyway, so the question is, like so many things like this, is and this is so brand new. You know, is you know, can how do we respond? I always like to respond with a balance of always looking for creative possibilities in something, especially in the evangelical realm.
Mm-hmm.
And also at the same time, you know, protecting, you know, trying to foresee what could be problematic. And, you know, they don't, even if they know those things, they're not going to do that. They want to get this thing out in the market, you know, and then they'll deal with the problems that come from it. You know, there's already some question raised about how this is getting, it's too invasive into people's private accounts and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And they're supposedly Pokemon's going to do something about that. And I can very well see somebody, you know, God forbid, but I, you know, I'm certain it might happen. You know, somebody might get shot as an intruder or trespasser or something, right. or somebody might get hit by a car. That's one thing I'm concerned about. You know, right. about people, you know, getting hit by a car because they're not watching. They're watching their iPhones. Mm-hmm. You know, they're so keen on getting that Pokemon or whatever that thing is.
Yeah, and I've even heard already of people driving and doing this. They're doing the Pokemon thing while they're driving, which. You know, it's one thing to text and drive, which is unsafe enough, then to play this video game that gets you completely captured in the game.
Completely. And I'm telling you, they do not look up. They do not look up because you may miss. The other guy's going to get it ahead of you, see? It's a so we're kind of feeling our way through it. Like I said, this just literally I came into this hours ago. My first introduction, as I mentioned, these kids at the teen rally, but I didn't think too much of it. Okay, big game, little game for them, you know. But then I come home and I come right into it, you know. So now it's in my lap and I'm trying to sift through it. And always there's the evangelical possibilities. You're getting people on the property. Yeah, they're now. I called up one of my young ladies who's savvy with this stuff. So she came out like a detective, and she's searching around the property, and she's showing me things, and she investigated all the areas where you can pick up these things. And our biggest concern was, can you pick up this game inside of our church? You know, it's one thing on their property, and she said, yeah, she had a couple of hits on the inside, which means people can actually come inside and start playing this thing inside. So now we're gonna look at that. Okay, what are we gonna do about that? You know, do we do hard line? Do we try to, you know, use it creatively? So it's something that well, first of all, people coming on the property they're being innocent in the sense that there's no damage, there's no you know, they're not up to anything wrong. And the kids that I've run into have been perfectly polite and you know, really rather sweet about the whole thing. They're talking about it, and they're not thinking no one's thinking anything of the fact that no one has gotten permission of these properties owners, you know, whether it's mine, my person I called came over, she said she works at a library, said our library is targeted too, you know. And so the fact is that you're not, getting permission from the property owners, you know, is a little bit of a concern. I think, again, kind of indicative of a lot of things in our culture, you know, the sense of just, you know, no boundaries and entitlement. And the game becomes, like I said, almost like God. The game supersedes everything, even sure. some common courtesy. Again, people don't think or intend to do anything wrong or insensitive, but they are being that, you know, just like, you know, you think, you know, this company, this Pokemon, whoever they are, whoever's out there doing it, you know, this anonymous, omniscient brain out there that's doing this, you know, think they would check in with you and say, hey, can we use your place? Say that. Here's the advantages, disadvantages. Mm-hmm. Here's, yeah. But they didn't. They just, boom, we're here. You know, we got your place. You know, you're it.
And you don't even know how you managed to get targeted with this.
No, not at all. Now, again, we go back between the pros and the cons. The positive thing is, my pressure point out, is that, you know, Father said it's a little bit of a backhanded compliment to our parish, because it basically, apparently, these things target prominent sites or sites that are considered prominent in a region, an area. So that's kind of a backhanded compliment that we rated enough for that.
Yeah, sure.
It's, you know, it's like offsetting penalties here, Leo. You know, it's like there's good over here, but then there's something not so good over here, you know. And so, again, I bring it up because it's a great case of what the church, in a very palpable way, you know, it's right in my lap, what the church is being confronted with, what it has to respond to, and how quickly it has to respond.
Yeah.
And again, I think this is where the Pope Francis thing is coming from. You know, it's like, how do we really respond to what is really out there, the reality? And do we get hard line? Do we look more into the side of like, oh, what could happen? You know, all the lawsuits and potential liability. Do we get hard line about that and maybe shut ourselves off of some very creative and fruitful evangelical possibilities?
Yeah.
You know, or do we just, you know, largely go with the evangelical possibilities and not be overly concerned about the liabilities and so on? And also, the third track would be, do we just kind of wait it out and see if the fad dies down a bit?
Yeah.
You know, because the more reason was, right now it's just like it's just like wildfire right now. So,
well, but, yeah, there's whenever there's opportunity to interact and to build relationship there. I think that's where you got to start, right? You got to at least start there and not pretend like these guys aren't even out there or doing anything. So, interesting. We'll talk more. We're getting close to the break here. I also want to get into this discussion. I don't know if you've seen the news on porn being declared a public health crisis. There's a lot of kind of, look at those silly conservatives saying things of that nature. But I think you and I both know that there's something very telling about this, and it's something that certainly theology of the body embraces. We can discuss that as well, more to come. Father Thomas Loya with us this afternoon. We're talking about theology of the body and Pokemon. More to come. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Back after this. Redbox Media, now is a great way for you to go deeper with your favorite show or shows in our programming lineup. With our Friend of the Show opportunity, you get extra exclusive content from your favorite show hosts and lots of extra love from the shows and hosts you love. Become a friend of the show by clicking on the link on our website or app menu. Your $10 monthly premium membership will unlock an exclusive world just for you. Support your favorite show today as a friend of the show. Friend of the Show premium memberships exclusively for you with Redbox Media. Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Father Thomas Loya joins us on Tuesday afternoons. Father, welcome back.
Good to be here.
In amid the craziness with the Pokemon stop at your parish, and apparently it seems like many churches have been tagged as these Pokemon stops. But you're actually, are you a gym? Is that what you're considered? So they're coming there to battle?
Yeah, gym, whatever that means.
Who knows? Wow. New and exciting frontiers, right?
Yes,
that's they are. That's what we that's what we can encounter with technology. You never know where things are going. The other interesting piece of news that I think is completely down the alley of our conversations on Tuesday is this GOP platform issue when it comes to porn as a public health crisis. And there are those who kind of are jeering this and are laughing like, ah, what are those guys saying? Oh, that's just pornography. But we, and one of the things that they say is the danger to children and the lives that are destroyed, marriages that are destroyed. You name it, there are so many dynamics that come from this, and it's certainly from a Catholic perspective so diminishing to human dignity, and those who even participate with this may not realize that, those who may be purveyors or participants or whatever, but there is nothing dignified. There is nothing dignified remotely about pornography.
No, it definitely is a health problem. And what people don't understand, I mean that literally, when men are hooked on porn, well, especially men, anyone, but it's largely going to be men being hooked on porn, there is actually a physical deterioration of the reasoning section of the brain. Mm. That part of the brain that is designated for moral judgment and good judgment. So there literally is a the reason why, because what happens is, to be real quickly here, not to get too technical, but in the area of the brain where pornography works and produces that high, there's another part of that, the frontal part of your brain then has to act like something like the brakes on your car. You know, you've got the energy going of the car, and the car has to come to a stop. So you eventually wear out your brakes. Mm-hmm. Well, it's the same kind of thing in the frontal lobe of your brain, which is responsible for the judgment, the moral judgment, discernment, reasoning kind of part of our thinking. And that is the thing that puts on the brakes of the other parts of the brain so that things don't go completely out of control and so on. Well, what's happening, you're finding that part of the brain is actually being stressed and therefore deteriorating. Secondly, when you're overloading the part of the brain, which is the receptors for stimulation, which that's what causes the high, the pornography acts in the brain the same place that cocaine addiction acts. Mm. And it's one of the reasons why it's the hardest addiction to break is pornography. But unfortunately, especially like all sexual things, they're by nature escalatory. It seeks to escalate because you need more and more of a high to produce. Because what happens is you begin to exhaust that part of the brain that produces the chemicals, the hormones that produces pleasure.
Right.
So it becomes, in a sense, worn out. And so it needs a higher stimulation. So really, you're actually, to make a long story short, it's very technical, but to make a long story short, you actually have a literally a physical chemical deterioration of the brain. Mm. Now, that's got to be bad for society and bad for someone's mind. But also, as you mentioned, you know, we know that civilization goes by way of marriage and the family. And what pornography does is it does tear down, it erodes the marital relationship because it's a very, very bizarre, in a sense, a bizarre form of adultery, really. Mm-hmm. It's worse than adultery.
Yeah, because Jesus talks about the adultery of the heart, right? I mean, this is right there.
Yes. Exactly, which then pulls the husband and wife apart. The wife feels very debilitated, very, very desolate because she cannot measure up to the fantasy that is in her husband's mind, especially when it comes to their sexual life. And she can't get to it. She can't get to the source. It's like it's another woman you can call up and say, hey, stay away from my husband. She can't get to this. And so there's a profound sense of a woman being like left very desolate, very alone, very, very, very empty in this. And then, of course, that erodes the marriage, which then in turn erodes family life. When you erode family life, you have all kinds of things rising, such as juvenile delinquency, poor performances in school, higher crime rates. You know, every man sitting in jail, probably to a man, never had a right relationship with his father, if he had a father at all. You know, so the breakdown of the marriage, which affects the family, then is in fact detrimental to society. It's costing us money. It is a health hazard, in this sense that it's a hazard to society. So, see, we have to remember that what goes on the bedroom doesn't stay there. Mm-hmm. The bedroom, as I always keep saying, the bedroom is the sanctuary of the human person, and the woman's womb is its tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
What goes on there determines the rise and fall of civilization. And where has the devil gone? Where has evil gone? It's gone right there. It's gone right to the tabernacle, right to the sanctuary of the human person. And therefore you have this, you know, he couldn't have picked a better target, you know. Now you have then the breakdown of the human institutions, you know, that contribute to society, such as marriage and family. And when that breaks down, you have a rise in everything bad. As I mentioned, from crime to juvenile delinquency, it affects the economy. You have people less productive because they don't do as well in school. They're not as able then to be productive in society. They have less skills, less capacity. The economy suffers. It's just a multiple. You know, it reminds you that famous beginning. There's the beginning of the Music Man. You know that when he does,
we got trouble.
The whole thing about just because. Yeah, we got trouble just because there's the pool game's coming into the village or the town there. Then he goes into all this multiple consequences. You know, it's kind of like that, though, but in a serious way. You know, because of this one thing, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And in fact, that is what's happening. So it is a health – it's a health problem to people individually and also to society. When a man is in, especially a man, when they're caught in that addiction, that it does give rise to more depression. Depression is a you know, is a health situation. It gives rise to alcoholism, to other addictions, and it, like I mentioned, it's escalatory. It gives rise and can give rise to things of a very, very serious sexual nature, a perverted nature. Many of your serial killers that also attacked people sexually, they all admitted, some of the most famous ones, like a Ted Bundy, you know, they admitted that they all started out with simple pornography. And it's by nature escalatory because, again, it's that biochemical thing in the brain. The brain will hunger for a greater and greater high because it's exhausting itself. With each high that it reaches, it exhausts itself. So it has to seek the next high. You know, to like kind of like jumpstart its chemical pleasure zones. And that in turn, as I mentioned, then it affects the frontal lobe of the brain, which then affects reasoning and moral discernment and judgment.
Well,
so, yeah, we've got a real problem.
Yeah. And I think that we need to be armed with this kind of information, especially because, again, there are those I've seen it already with my friends on Facebook. The jeers are out there on the GOP. And not that I'm a partisan politics kind of guy, but I want to give credit where credit is due and say, well, wait a minute. Let's really look at this and understand why this would be a public issue. And yes, there's the dignity issue is paramount, I think. But when you consider the fact that studies have proven that this is a greater addiction than any drug imaginable,
yes,
and that it leads to some sort of impaired judgment. I mean, there's no doubt that the judgment becomes impaired with riskier and riskier behavior, and who knows where this could ultimately lead. And the other thing is that it could actually be the demise of our culture and society if enough are interested in the artificial that they ignore the natural, then there's no procreation anyway. And you get into this crazy robot world. I mean, the technological advancement we have in robots is because of the porn industry and sex robots trying to be as human-like as possible. I mean, this is... This is where we're going. It sounds sci-fi and futuristic, but it's what we're dealing with. It's insane.
Yes, it's a very good point. The part of this, it's health hazard in terms of of life, literally life and death, of extinction.
Exactly.
Because, yes, it is. It's another form of, again, once again, if you look at all these things, a contraception, abortion, same-sex lifestyle, and pornography, they all have as their ultimate goal, the common thread between them is they stop life. They stop the procreation of life, which is the devil's greatest dream. He's been trying it since time immemorial, since Lucifer fell from heaven. He's been trying to stop life.
Exactly.
And this is why it is indeed a health hazard. Health, you know, sometimes a health hazard means it's life threatening.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what this is. It's not life threatening. It is snuffing out life.
Yeah. And unfortunately, those who are blinded by this are exactly that. They're blinded by this. They don't see the danger. They don't understand. It's laughable. The silly Republicans, conservatives, look at that. But when you really understand the dynamics that are a part of this, it is diabolical.
It is. It's the silent killer. And you know, Leo, there's no such thing as a private sin.
Exactly. Father, we're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us. As always, God bless you. TaborLife.org. We'll follow you over there, and we'll talk to you next week. God bless.
Thank you.
More to come. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back after this.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Good afternoon, we're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith. 50 minutes every afternoon. The memorial service taking place in Dallas this afternoon with our sitting president, President Obama, along with former President George W. Bush, with obviously a hope, I would hope, the opportunity to bring some healing, some peace, some understanding into this very tragic situation. And I think our president has certainly been outspoken and been very reasoned in his approach, and certainly has been one that has called for unity and clarity. I'm not so sure as far as the opposing political candidates now, as far as what they've been able to bring to the table on this issue, but certainly we've heard it from our president. We hope that that continues. And interestingly, I posted this over my Facebook page. The Blaze is reporting this. Miss Alabama coming out of church saying that she has been praying a lot about this whole recent situation, and she calls the shooter in the Dallas incident a murder, and basically that she can't feel remorse for the murders of the police officers because of so much angst that she has about the black men who were shot by police officers. That, and goes on to say many times, I know I'm not the only one that thinks this. I know other people feel this way. Support me in this, kind of almost in a rally to say there's got to be a way to kind of exacerbate the situation. Where what I've seen, by and large, since this incident, have been much more unifying experiences. Those who seem to be reaching across barriers and across aisles in order to say, let's join hands. Let's look at ways that we can come together on these issues and stop being so divisive. Stop allowing this wedge point to be what it is. And I think we can do that legitimately. I think we could do that with every degree of sincerity without just stepping into this co-opting environment of saying or changing the dynamic and making it about the disproportionate number of black lives that are killed in abortion, or even talking about black on black violence. We don't have to go there. We don't have to use these political talking points, points of division. I mean, we just get more divisive when we go down that road. It's not a way to say, let's stand together in solidarity. That does no one any good. And I know that that's unfortunately the tendency for many to immediately jump to that and to begin using platforms. Okay, well, now we got a platform, got the soapbox. Got a platform, get on the soapbox. Going to get on the soapbox, and we're going to use all this dynamism, and we're going to try to, divert it, redirect it, move it into another debate. And again, that's not solving any problems. That's certainly not creating any solutions. There has to be a way to find unity that says, okay, we're going to stand together, and that's that. We're going to stand together. We don't have to go, oh, yeah, but what about this? We don't have to. It's almost this bizarre form of one-upness. Well, you think that's bad? Well, it's not as bad as this. And it's not a time to use these platforms for soapboxes. We can stand on the platform together without any soapboxes, without anybody getting on a higher level and using this as that opportunity. In a certainly an outreach of unity from the Sanders camp, and I got to admit, my political fantasies seem to be just dissolving by the moment. And I was hopeful that there would be something, not that I wanted to see something even more contentious, I wanted to see more variety, right? I really wanted to see more variety in this election of individuals who were possibly electable, to the point that we may have a four-way race that could kind of look like something very interesting. And I had assumed that Sanders was going to hold out and kind of watch the GOP for their move and to see if they were going to come in with a third-party candidate, bring someone in at the 11th hour and save the GOP. But now it's looking like they may not even nominate Trump anyway. And then who knows what's going to happen then. But Sanders, I think, playing it safe, putting his support behind Clinton, and realizing that that's how this gets won. And that's how I see it getting won, too. If Sanders speaks that clearly to his followers, that this is how we do this, we win because we are going to find unity in a party, and we are going to stand in unity when another party is obviously imploded. And when they are all getting down to the wire when it comes to convention time, and they can't even agree that this is their nominee, well, we're going to be the exact opposite. We're going to come together and show full support of our party, and we're going to put our party first. And we're all going to rally behind our candidate, and we're going to show full support. And to the moderate majority who elects the president, you've heard me talk about this many times, those kind of things are more impressive than the nitpicking and the infighting and all of this leading into a convention. If they're paying attention, they're paying attention to those who seem to have it together. And it's one of the challenges that Christianity faces, because that is one of the easy criticisms. Well, you guys can't even agree. How can we agree with anything that you say? And when you have parties that are divided in this very obvious fashion, And the moderate majority is wondering where they cast their vote. Where do they put their support? Well, they are likely going to go with the group that looks more unified, simply because it appears as though they have it more together. And as I've said many times, we got some time to tell between now and November, but my guess is the country will want to create history again. They will want a historic opportunity, just as the first African-American president made history 8 years ago. Now is time to make history once again with the first female president. Now, you know, I support a female candidate. Soraya Foss is my pick. We've talked to her here on the show. I would like nothing more than to see a female president, not for the sake of making history, because I believe in what she has to say. I think that she embodies the principles and the values as a Catholic that I hold very dear and do not want to compromise by casting a vote for the lesser of two evils. Now, there are those who say, by me doing that, I just put Hillary in the White House. And the question I ask, well, what if I put Trump in the White House? We don't know, right? What if I put Foss in the White House because enough people actually feel the way I do? And if there were enough Catholics, because we're a huge voting bloc, well, we're a huge group. We're not necessarily a voting bloc because we don't vote together. We don't. The Catholic faithful, maybe I should say Catholic quote-unquote faithful, I don't know, is divided on issues as much as the rest of the country. There's no difference in behaviors, in political leanings, in anything when it comes to the Catholic voting group. Can't really call them a bloc. That would mean they vote together. But the group of voters who self-identify as Catholic are as divided as anyone else. And I have to assume it's just because we don't know any better. We just don't know any better. And we think, well, it's a lesser of two evils. That's kind of what it always is. And we kind of got to cast our vote for the one who we think is going to do less damage, I guess. Crazy. No, vote with your principle. Vote with your conscience. Your informed conscience. Your formed conscience, I should say. Not just informed. I think we can think we're informed. We're not really formed through formation. That really takes into account the perspective of our church teaching. We can do this, and we compromise nothing. That's the beauty. Absolutely nothing has to be compromised. So it's not this crazy false dichotomy. It can be very cohesive. It's all the time we have for this afternoon. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Leo Brown, Leo Brown Almost Hour. God bless you.